sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast.
But we didn't come here to drink beer! We came here to win this ballgame!
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I said to the Uber boy, I said, take me out with the crowd!
What's going on, Cubs fans? You are listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I am your host, Sean Sears, and on today's episode, we bring on Tony Andracki from the Marquee Sports Network. He is the digital media content producer for Marquee, as well as the Cubs reporter. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TonyAndracki23. We get Tony's take on what's going on here with the Cubs. He was just as surprised as anyone else that Theo Epstein was stepping down on Tuesday and Jed Hoyer was taking over officially Friday today. So we get Tony's thoughts on Theo Epstein's exit, what Jed Hoyer could plan on doing with this team beyond 2021, and what the plan is for 2021, what could be coming up here, what this could signal for the direction for this Cubs team going forward. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, get yourself 20% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, get yourself 20% off on your next order. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars. And then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on whatever podcast app you use. The system we actually use called Megaphone just got purchased by Spotify. So I think that means we are kind of sort of partnered with Spotify, but you can get your podcast on Spotify as well as Apple, Google, anywhere you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears, and then again, you can follow Tony on Twitter at TonyAndracki23. But with that, here's Tony Andracki from Marquee Sports.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and they're improved now and more delicious than ever, with 6 new flavors to add to their already 18 amazing flavors, being caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry baraka, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Some delicious flavors to go along with their coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter. Mint brownie is actually my favorite, double chocolate, orange, toffee, coconut, peanut butter brownie. All those flavors. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, easy, soft to chew. Some of the best tasting bars I've had. But on top of that, the Built Bar is healthy. It's great for health conscious people like myself who are trying to lose weight or, you know, work out and still try and keep eating something good for you, but that is low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. It's great for keto diets. It's a ton of just great options you can have while you're working out, while you're trying to eat a little bit healthier. Those are things Built Bar is built for. But I think one of my favorites is the cookies and cream. It's got 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carb. I'm not very a super health conscious person myself. I like cookies and cream. I like stuff that tastes good, but I'm definitely trying to look for stuff to snack on throughout the day. Built Bar's been great because obviously, first off, they sent me some bars immediately when they first started partnering with Locked On, and they're delicious, but it's nice to have something that I can eat on and chew throughout the day that isn't like, you know, Goldfish, something bad for me, pop, sugar, all this stuff that I'm probably, you know, constantly distracted with, my refrigerator being directly behind me at my desk in my apartment. Having Built Bar here has helped me honestly lose a little bit of weight while I've been in quarantine, and it's honestly encouraged me to try and work out a little bit more. But right now, Built Bar has reset their promo code and is now offering a free cooler with purchase. So while supplies last, there's only about a week or so left in this, so obviously place your order soon, but go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKDOWN for $10 off at BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar you will ever have.
All right, what's going on, Cubs fans? I am Sean Sears. You're joining me today here with Tony Andracki. He's the digital content manager and Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TonyAndracki23. Tony, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, of course. It's always nice when we can, when we can get you on the phone here, I guess Zoom now. So, but this week was kind of crazy. We were kind of just talking about it before we jumped on, but I know you were surprised just as anyone else here on Tuesday when we got the news that Epstein was stepping down. I guess, what was your thought process when you got that news?
Yeah, it was interesting for sure. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be this week. I always kind of thought that it would happen at some point. I mean, Theo has really been not adamant, but he's talked about the fact that he subscribes to the Bill Walsh rule of an executive being a part of an organization for 10 years or about 10 years, and then kind of going on from there, whether because the individual needs a new challenge himself or to find some way to rejuvenate it. And then for the organization, for the same thing, to get a new voice, to get a new sense of leadership. I mean, honestly, that's kind of similar to what the Joe Maddon, David Ross thing was, right? It's not like Maddon was a bad manager. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame manager. He didn't do any one particular thing that would make him lose his job. But the new voice, the new guy in charge is an energizing force, a galvanizing force for a team. And we did see that a bit this year with David Ross. So I think that's part of the equation here with Theo stepping down. And kind of always was going to be the case. But yeah, I was definitely surprised by the timing.
Yeah, I was, like you said, it's not surprising that he was necessarily leaving. I think it was just the timing of everything, especially because we had that press conference maybe about a month or so ago, the end of season kind of presser that Theo always does. And it felt like he was staying. He was talking a lot about like reaching out to John Lester, or what the plan might be for some of these guys on the roster. He wouldn't specifically address what his situation was. And obviously we know now that that was still a work in progress, but clearly I wasn't expecting this. I thought Theo was going to be around. So it was a sad day Tuesday. It's a bummer when you see a guy like Epstein leave, but I guess the question is now, I guess, why did it happen now? Do you think this was something they were just kind of working out, or do you think Epstein was trying to make something, maybe a one last run sort of ditch effort sort of thing with the ownership group? What were your kind of thoughts on the situation?
Yeah, I think, the way Theo explained it is he always anticipated going the next year all the way through his contract in 2021. But this summer changed a lot of things for him with the pandemic. I mean, the pandemic changed things for a lot of people. And it changed with that. He has acknowledged that Jed Hoyer is ready to go and become the leader of this team and the number one in charge of baseball operations. But then, yeah, I think, there were a lot of different aspects. There's so many tough decisions the Cubs have to make right now that have long-term ramifications. The futures of Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, Wilson Contreras in 2 years is also a free agent. So does Theo really want to be the guy in charge of that when he only has a year left too? Like, that's not always the best course of action is to have the number one, knowing that you're only going to be here for 6 months or eight more months, being the guy that makes those decisions that have so many long-term ramifications. So I think that was very selfless on Theo's part to recognize that and to help acknowledge that, now is the right time to make this move. And, as he talked about too, like, money was a factor from his end. Tom Ricketts said it was not a factor at all in his part of the decision, but from Theo's standpoint, he knew it was going to be a very difficult year for the Cubs in every aspect, both on the field and in general, just with how hard the pandemic has hit without fans in the stadium. And so he thought that, that would help a little bit. And it does. I mean, you're talking almost $10 million in salary that Theo is helping save jobs with by not being around. And just in general, I thought it was another great sign of leadership from Theo to take all of those things into account and to put the organization first over himself. Thought that was really, really great. At the same time, I do think this is a good situation for him because now he can do a lot of different things. He can help consult with Major League Baseball or the Players Union or a lot of different things. Like, he's working with the Players Alliance and some other charities and nonprofits. So it'll be nice for him too, to step away after almost three decades working every summer in baseball.
Yeah. When he was saying this would be 2020 would be the first summer he's not, clocking into a ballpark, I was like, man, yeah, that's very true. Summer's not quite as fun when you're worried about, who's going to be your closer at the end of the year. So that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, if there ever were a guy that earned a little time and rest and relaxation, it's probably Theo. But I guess now that Theo's leaving the team, Jed Hoyer's taking on this role. Like you said, there's a lot of questions this team's going to have to address. But with Epstein gone now, does that change the picture, I guess, necessarily for the Cubs? Or are things still kind of the same? Like, I guess these decisions were coming regardless if Theo was here. But does it make it easier to kind of maybe change direction a little bit without a guy like Theo in that position anymore?
It could. Like we talked about, a new voice definitely could be factor or driving force at any point. And just now Jed has an opportunity to put his stamp on the organization and take it in whatever direction he wants to go. But I don't think that you're going to see a major change. I mean, part of the reason why Jed is taking over is because the Cubs want continuity. This is the greatest stretch in Cubs franchise history. They made the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years. They've been a winning team for 6 straight years, obviously 3 NLCS berths, 3 division titles, the World Series, all these things. Prior to this, they had only made the playoffs 3 times in a row once, and that was back in the early 1900s. It's just, you know, it's – and they had never made it 4 times in a row. So, again, it's just – it's far and away the most successful run in Cubs history. They didn't want to run away from that. They still have a lot of talent. So they did want some continuity. So I don't think they're going to do a full 180 or anything like that. But I do think that there is an opportunity for Jed to put his stamp in the organization and maybe make some decisions that Theo wouldn't have made, because they are two different people with two different thought processes on the direction of the organization.
Yeah, and Theo highlighted a ton for Jed. Obviously, he was talking to his buddy up, Jed, obviously, in that press conference, and that makes sense. Those two are obviously friends. Yeah. We found out about the Jed Hoyer Twitter account a little bit more this week, which was super funny. But Epstein also talked a little about how instrumental Hoyer was to certain deals, like pushing hard for Pedro Strop and that Jake Arrieta deal. Like, that was something we had no idea, that Jed was the reason Pedro was on this team. And it sounded like he pushed against the Jose Quintana deal a little bit too. So it's interesting to think, like, if Jed were running things, like, what this team could look like. But he's got that opportunity now. So I guess, what are some of the differences you've noticed between Jed and Theo?
Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly what the differences are going to be in terms of president of baseball operations with Jed. The only time I've known him or covered him, he's been the GM. He's been the number two.
Right.
So, I think there will be a bit of a difference, and I can't accurately predict what that would be, but I think the difference between those two guys is, I think, a little bit of a different personality, right? Like, it's really hard to replace Theo. He's one of the greatest leaders in the world, probably right now, in just about any category. Was it Forbes, or who was it that in 2016, like, named him one of the greatest leaders in the world too?
It was Forbes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and just in general, we've seen it. And this year, I think, was so impactful for Theo too, with everything going on with the virus, the way that everything filtered down from him, the fact that no Cubs player had a positive test, that, you know, it was David Ross's leadership, of course, too, but it started at the top with Theo and laying out the guidelines and talking to the players and the great leadership in the clubhouse. And I think it's just so easy to do that when you have somebody in charge like Theo, who acknowledged that this is a very real thing. I mean, I remember back when the day baseball shut down, he was talking about flattening the curve and how important it is to make sure as a country that we get things under control so that this virus doesn't take so many lives. And here we are 8 months later, and you know, it's been a difficult run. So, but yeah, he's been talking about that from the start, and just the way that he has been a part of a factor of change for social justice and the Black Lives Matter movement. He was the impetus behind that on draft night, everybody holding up all the GMs holding up the Black Lives Matter sign. He started that, and with a text with Kenny Williams. So it will be really hard to replace a leader like that. But I think Jed is also a very good leader, and he's somebody who's highly regarded by every aspect of the organization. And I think he's a little bit more social too. That's how Theo whenever they were at, like, cocktail parties or functions or whatever, Theo is more of the guy who wants to have a one-on-one conversation. He doesn't want to, like, get up in front of the group or constantly be, like, talking to a bunch of different people and stuff. And so he would prefer to even duck out of there early if he Yeah. And yet Jed is around like talking and having like seven different conversations. So Theo said he always appreciated that about Jed. And that is true. Jed is such a social guy, and not that Theo wasn't. Theo is always very pleasant and stuff, but I think Jed, we're going to see even a bit more social aspect of that. And he's just so personable that I think it'll have a good impact for the organization.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Jed. I mean, any GM position or president of operations position that opened up, I'm sure every team checked in to see if Jed was interested or if the Cubs would allow interviews. Like, he's a well-respected guy across baseball. So the Cubs are lucky to have, they were lucky to have both of them, but they're lucky to be able to supplement Theo with a guy like Jed now. I know people were pushing hard or have been tweeting more and more about like making sure you get different eyes on this organization. It sounds like Jed will probably diversify his staff a little bit, but even like Theo did similar stuff like this too. When he came in, he had guys that were kind of like his inner circle. You know, that's great to see at least, but you know, I guess ultimately how important do you think it is to get some fresh eyes along with Jed to allow that change to happen for the Cubs?
I think very important. That's a good point because the continuity, as we talked about, is something that's important to the Cubs. But I think a fresh perspective is also important for what we were talking about at the beginning about, you know, galvanizing or energizing force. I think that's certainly possible for every aspect of the organization right now, because as great as this Cubs run has been, it's also come short of even their expectations. And I know short of the fans' expectations the last couple of years, you know, the fact that, that the way the 2019 season ended at the end of the regular season, and then the way both 2018 and 2020 ended without a playoff victory at all and moving on to the next round. The Cubs are disappointed by that. Theo is disappointed by that. He called it his biggest regret as he is leaving the front office here. And so, I mean, that's the task that Hoyer has to do right now is to get things back on track. There's all these big picture future ramifications that, like these decisions that have to be made on the players. But ultimately what has to happen with the team is they want to get back to a place where they're winning playoff games and playoff series again and making deep runs in October. And so I do think a fresh perspective is very helpful for that. And they've tried to look at it with fresh eyes, and both Theo and Jed and everybody else has over the last couple of years. This year was just so different. Like, it's so hard to really evaluate so many different things in a shortened season and that, but I think that the Cubs have certainly been trying, but you're right. This leaves the door open for a like fully different perspective to come in. And that they had Dan Kantrovitz started as the scouting director and stuff, and guy running the drafts this year for the first time because of that, because they wanted the fresh perspective. Now they have another opportunity to kind of backfill, whether that's a GM or promoting somebody internally to GM and then bringing in another outside voice somewhere high up in the front office with a different perspective and a different seat at the table and different thoughts about the organization, the direction. So I think that is very good for this team moving forward to get those fresh eyes.
Yeah. And obviously the restructure the Cubs had last year, at least with like their scouting and player development, a lot of that was Jed. So it's great that now he's going to be overseeing a lot of that too. So that's a big plus as well. So hopefully, I mean, I know people were like, pluck someone from the Andrew Friedman tree or get someone from this, you know, from the Rays or whatever. And yeah, obviously that's great, but that doesn't, just because they work with the Rays doesn't mean you find, you know, the next Brett Honeywell or something like that. Yeah. So, but one thing I want to talk to you about, obviously, there's been some rumors we've seen this offseason already that have just kind of been a little ridiculous. Like, I know there was some trade rumors from New York about Yu Darvish being traded to the Mets or the Yankees or something like that. You know, we'll see those every year, but there was some more substantial rumors that came out shortly after the news of Epstein from, I think, Mark Feinsand, something about the Cubs possibly blowing things up or being very open to change. That's stuff we've heard before, but with the change at the front office now, I guess, how realistic is that in your head? I know we kind of touched on this now, but with multiple media sources now come out and say the Cubs are at least open to this, what does that tell you in your mind at least?
You know, I, like you said, we've heard this stuff before. We heard it, 2 years ago about the whole like end on the trade block and stuff. And obviously
change is coming.
And Bryant hasn't been traded in 2 years. So, you know, it's, rumors aren't fact, and they're certainly not. You're just not going to get every rumor right. No reporter out there is, nothing that comes out. I do think it's maybe a little bit more feasible that something like that happens now for a lot of different reasons, because of the change in the organization at the top between Theo and Jed, because of the way the pandemic has affected so many different things across every aspect of baseball, let alone just the Cubs organization. And because all these guys are a couple years older or a year older versus last offseason and a year closer to free agency. So I think all of those things are very real factors. That being said, I still think that that's pretty unlikely. It's certainly possible, but I don't think the Cubs are going to do this full 180 and pivot, because I don't think David Ross signed on to be this man through this rebuilding or retooling period. To trade a guy like Yu Darvish or Kyle Hendricks, I think that that would basically signal, you know, unless you got somebody very, very big league ready, you know, close to being big league ready or whatever, I think that's basically, you know, calling it a retool or rebuild, because right now the NL Central is wide open and there is still a ton of talent on this roster that, even though they haven't lived up to their own expectations over the last couple of years, the division's wide open going into in 2021. Yeah. If we started tomorrow, I would take the Cubs roster to win the division again. As of right now, some of these other clubs could maybe go out and do some other things. But as we hear talk about rumors, Brewers are talking about trading Josh Hader. The Cardinals are talking about not spending money. The Reds, we're not quite sure what's going to happen with them, but they're, at the very least, it seems like they're probably losing Trevor Bauer this year from their rotation. So
right.
A lot of teams are getting weaker throughout this winter. So, and I think there's going to be a lot of veterans available via smaller salaries or shorter term salaries and contracts that wouldn't necessarily be available in past off seasons. So the Cubs could augment their lineup or their rotation with some buy low guys. So ultimately I do see the Cubs being competitive again next year. I don't think they're going to blow things up, but I do think there is change coming. Whether that's what form that takes, I don't know for sure, but if they're get the right value that they want in a trade for somebody like Chris Bryant or Kyle Schwarber or even Javi Baez or Rizzo, I think they do that. But I do think that they would honestly try to work out extensions with all of them. And I think if the Cubs wanted to do a full 180, then I don't think Jed would be the guy getting the opportunity as president of baseball operations. I think it would be somebody else. They would bring in somebody different with a fresh perspective. They don't want to blow it up. They want to maximize the value they have, which I think is why it's Darvish and not Hendrick that we're seeing in terms of trade value, especially because Darvish is 34. But I think the Cubs have a very real possibility of winning the division next year and making the playoffs. And anytime you get in the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. So I think they're going to do everything that they want to do. It's to try to make the playoffs in 2021, but probably more importantly is to set the organization up for success beyond 2021.
Okay. Yeah. I like the way you put that. That's probably the best I've heard it so far, but yeah, you're 100% right. You don't promote Jed Hoyer to blow the team up. Cause that's one of his best assets. He drafted these guys. He found these guys, he knows them better than most people. Yeah. So I think that's a good point too. One of my last questions here for you, Tony, you obviously got to cover Theo pretty much your whole time getting onto the beat for the Cubs. I'm sure that guy, along with a guy like Joe Madden, probably is a special place for you in terms of, you know, growing up basically on this beat. But what are some of your favorite Theo moments over the last couple of years while covering the Cubs?
Yeah, no, that is a fantastic point. Both of those guys do hold a special place in my career. I mean, being a Chicagoan growing up here, I grew up a Cubs fan and in a family of diehard Cubs fans, a lot of friends that are too. And so, you know, being a young reporter first starting out when Theo took over in 2011, I covered one game and then he took over. And then basically I started working a little bit more from that. So I feel like very much I haven't covered the Cubs that when Theo hasn't.
Right. I was pretty sure that was the case, but I didn't want to say it.
So. Yeah, no. So it is very weird. And then, for Madden, you know, like I really started covering the team a lot when he was in charge in 2015. Mm-hmm. So yeah, same thing. This was the first year that I like covered the team in depth without Joe Madden as the manager. So so it is, you know, those two guys definitely hold a special place in terms of my career. In terms of favorite Theo memories, I think, you know, first of all, I've always appreciated the respect that he's shown the media. And I think this year, even more so than in years past, he's always been so gracious with his time. And I one of the things that has always stood out to me is his end of season press conferences. I know Cubs fans eat up too, because there's so much good info in there and good quotes, but I love that he'll sit down and he'll say, I'm here to answer the questions. I have as much time as you need. And he, you know, he doesn't right. let, like, not that anybody would pressure him to be like, okay, well, you know, we're wrapping up. He just wouldn't let that be a part of the equation. So I remember in 18, after the way things went, the game 163 and then the wildcard game. And it was like, all of a sudden we thought the Cubs were going on a deep playoff run as a 95 win team. Here we are in like October 3rd, October 4th, whatever. And they're out of it. And he's sitting there addressing it all. He's like, no, I have as much time as you need. Like, I'm here as long as you want. I got water. Like, I'm good to answer any questions that you guys have. And he said that every year. And I have so much respect for that, because he's not trying to hide the ball. I don't think he's ever tried to hide the ball. He doesn't want to give away everything, but the respect and appreciation and thoughtfulness that he's always shown to the media, I've always appreciated. And I mean, there have been some funny moments, of course, like after the World Series where he's like, I'm going on a bender, Jed's in charge. And that's like the perfect way to sum this all up right now. He's probably going on a bender, Jed's in charge of the Cubs. So, those are the moments that come to mind right now is just the way I think, you know, Theo has treated people, and just, he's been available a lot. I think from my perspective that he's made himself available to the media and subsequently to the fan base as well. And I think he's been so accountable. He never gets up there and blasts anybody else. He always points the thumb back at himself. And I think that's a great way. It's a great show of leadership and something I've respected, you know, even not being a part of a media, like just thinking in general, that's a great way to be a leader. And it's something that's an admirable quality just as a person. So those are the things that have stood out to me over his tenure.
Yeah, no, he's, we were very lucky as people of the Cubs fans, Cubs who be on beat writers, whatever it may be, that we were very lucky to have a guy like Theo Epstein and running things. And like you said, always took the time to answer questions. And on top of that, was very accountable. He never, that what you said exactly, I've never heard Theo Epstein throw someone under the bus. He would never do that. And I know I was, we had a mailbag question a couple of weeks ago, and people were asking, like, do you think Theo Epstein doesn't like Tom Ricketts? Do you think they have like animosity? Like, no, Tom, even if that ever were the case, like, there's no way Theo Epstein would ever tip his hand, especially to the media. But no, he's very much, this is what you get with me. And he's always been very transparent. And that's, in terms of like what I've seen from other Cubs GMs, not to, you know, nothing against anyone else, but like, it's just a clear difference between Theo and other guys that have come through here, and it's going to be sad when he's gone. So,
yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think what's always so interesting about that too, is just the fact that like, he is able to say a lot without giving everything away. And he's able to, everything he says is so calculated and is he clearly has thought about it before. He doesn't just get up there and wing anything whenever he has a press conference or meets with the media. He has thought about it before. And he has, if he ever talks about a player or anything else, it's because there's something behind it, whether he wants to see this guy step up as a leader more or whatever. I mean, leadership, for example, was a topic of conversation for a couple of winters. And you know, part of that was because they wanted to find other leaders in. Part of that was because they wanted to get some of the guys on the roster to kind of elevate more as leaders in David Ross's absence after he retired. So, I think with Theo, there's just so many different aspects of him, like being calculating and stuff. And actually, I just thought of another one too with the World Series. I remember, in the clubhouse after the game, I saw Bill Murray. And so, I mean, Bill Murray is like, and I'm like, oh my god, this is awesome. So I like went up and tried to talk to him, and as I was talking to him, Theo just came by and just sprayed a bunch of champagne right in his face. I just asked Bill Murray a question. I don't even remember what it was now, and there were two media members around, and Theo just like sprayed him right in the face with like champagne, and Bill Murray was spraying him right back. And I was like, wow, this is a great moment. And I got pretty drenched too, but I was like, this is awesome. And you know, I have no idea what Bill Murray ended up saying after that, but I was like, this is just like such a cool thing to just see like these two, you know, this iconic baseball executive and this like iconic actor comedian just spraying each other in the face with champagne and like pure joy. It was cool.
It's like the Cubs are one of the few organizations where like that can just happen on like a Wednesday, you know, like you can just run into Bill Murray and it's just normal. But yeah, it'll be sad to see Theo Epstein not playing guitar with Eddie Vedder. I'm sure that'll probably happen still eventually. I know he said he'll be around in Chicago for a bit, but it'll definitely be different to see what this Cubs team will look like without Theo, because it's been easily the best baseball you and I have ever seen, at least on the North side. So Tony, I appreciate you taking the time. It's always great talking with you. I know you guys had a great sit down with Theo on the Marquee's, the Cubs Weekly podcast. That was awesome. I listened to that a little bit ago. Always awesome to hear Theo, but if you guys aren't, make sure you're following Tony on Twitter at TonyAndracki23. He is the digital content manager and of course Cubs reporter for Marquee Network. And anything exciting coming up with Marquee in the next few weeks or?
No, so just right now we're in the process of doing the top 10 games of 2020. It's really fun to go back and watch some of these and relive some of the moments. It's kind of funny, like it was such a short season, 60 games, but there were so many awesome games and Cubs throughout the year. So it's been cool to go back and watch him so far and all next week, Thanksgiving week too, where Aaron, like the top five, it'll be the top five Cubs games of the year at night. So that's been pretty cool to be a part of that these last couple of weeks.
Awesome. Well, Tony, I appreciate taking the time. You enjoy the holiday. Hopefully you're staying safe. You know, it's always great talking with you, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. You too.
All right, Cubs fans, that will do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs, and that will do it here for the week, as it was an eventful week that I don't think anyone was expecting to be quite as eventful. Obviously, Theo Epstein's gone, Jed Hoyer assumes the role officially today, and we should hopefully be getting a better idea of what direction this team is heading towards. But Tony was very adamant. He feels like if the Cubs were truly going to rebuild or retool, that Jed Hoyer wouldn't have been the guy and they would have gone a completely different direction. And I think that's clear. You know, it's strange to see the way Theo Epstein exited, but as Tony and I talked about through this, it felt like it was more so just Epstein knowing that he shouldn't be the one making these decisions, that it should be coming from a guy like Jed, who's clearly ready for this role. So the Cubs are giving him that opportunity, and I think it's well earned. So we'll have to see what happens, but like we've talked about throughout this podcast through these last couple of weeks, the Cubs are very much going to be reacting to what's out in front of them more so than they are going to be setting the market. So, but with that is our episode. We appreciate you guys sticking around this week. And as always, go Cubs. Stay safe, everyone.